Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
I just want to quickly read this. The guys sang this out this morning. Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord. And this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. You rule over everything. Father, we just thank you. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. And today you rule over everything. We give you all the glory. We thank you, Lord. We come to hear your word and get to know you this morning. We come before you, Lord, in your mercy. We come before your face and your favour that's extended towards us. We come before you like Esther, Lord, with a heart that understands your heart and cries out for mercy. For our own loved ones, for our community, for this nation and the nations, Lord, we come before you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. just for a while now, I've been in the story, the Book of Esther, and you know, when God called many churches in this nation at the beginning of this year to fast and pray, to come before him, to come before his mercy, and to submit before him our lives and our hearts. And it says here in Esther chapter 8, verse 3, it just says, Esther went before the king, falling down at his feet and begging him with tears to stop the evil plot devised by Haman against the Jews. And, you know, we can come before God for those that we love. And we can come before God because we see the plot of the enemy against them. And the plots in the nations that the enemy has. But we come before God knowing he has the answer. And it's his heart to come and move and save. And it says, the king held out the gold scepter to Esther. So she rose and stood before him. And I really believe that for us as a church and the church in this nation, it's time to rise. It's time to rise up with that cry in our heart for mercy for people. But we rise because he's extended his favour towards us. His face is toward us. We reflect his glory and we stand. And she says to him, if it pleases the king and if I've found favour with him, if he thinks it's right and if I'm pleasing to him, let there be a decree that reverses, you know, the plan of the enemy. A move on behalf of the Jews. And he says to her, you go ahead and send a message. You decree. Church, it's time to rise up. Amen. Rise up in the favour and the grace of God with the authority of his bride, of his queen, and decree against the enemy, decree God's plan and purposes, his plan of salvation. And I want to read this to you. This is excellent. This is written by a friend of ours who leads a church in Norfolk. And it's a book called Relentless, and it says, it puts the bride of Christ on the catwalk and demonstrates just how drop-dead gorgeous she really is. Now, to the king, Esther was drop-dead gorgeous. That's why he chose her. Okay? And we are the bride of Christ. Amen. So listen to this. You can join in and stand and whoop and holler and all the rest of it if you want. I'm going to rattle through this. You listen. God's picture of his bride, of the church. Okay, so lift your eyes for the moment from you as an individual and just see God's vision. The bride of Christ, the house of God, this is the place of God's dwelling on earth. The body of Christ, God says his eye is on it always and his heart is in it forever. In the words of Jacob, how awesome is this place? And I'm declaring that over this church. Is that all right? The church is the family of God in heaven and on earth. The church is the design of God, born in the heart of God from eternity to become his plan on earth. She is prepared as a bride for her bridegroom, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Almighty God. She is beautiful and potent. She is diverse and divergent. She moves with a sense of harmony and accord. She has emerged through the centuries as a powerful, significant, and influential force touching every corner of the globe. Though she has experienced persecution, mistreatment, and abuse, she continues through dangers, toils, and snares to be a light to the world and a city on a hill. Though she has experienced betrayal, treachery, and has been downtrodden, she remains an indomitable light that refuses to be extinguished, to be quenched, or to be obscured. She has known the infidelity of the times, yet remains rooted in the eternal strategy of God. As the light of the world, the church has lit the way for over 2,000 years, and through the intense darkness of the ages, she perseveres relentlessly. Though some have displayed their disloyalty and unfaithfulness, her persistence has ever triumphed, defeating dictators, conquering kingdoms, and piercing the shadows of jungles, deserts, and rainforests the world over. The church is radiant, and in Christ she is destined to be without spot or wrinkle, holy and blameless. She is a glorious church, and her determination and resolve is relentless and resolute. She cannot be stopped, she cannot be silenced, and she cannot be dismissed. This church has inspired countless men and women to extraordinary lengths. She has commanded the commitment of those who have gone on to change the world of their day. She has superintended the passions of many throughout the ages. This awesome church, moved by tenderness and grace, has touched the broken lives of millions, influenced the course of history, and brought healing to the troubled souls of the masses. She loves, she heals, she delivers, she brings relief and transforms those who embrace her and her master. This church is not peripheral to the world. She is unaffected by governments and galaxies, by politics or by the affairs of state. She is central to all of God's plans for the earth. Even her martyrs have encouraged her growth and influence. This church is infused and steeped with supernatural vigor, imbued with an energy so great, so fierce as to have broken the very power of death and raised Jesus to new life. This energy is so prevailing, so potent, that not even the schemes and plots of evil can thwart the forward movement of this triumphant church. It is this same spirit who invigorates and animates every aspect of the church. The spirit who raised Christ quickens every aspect of the church. She is a creative force in the world. She is original, remarkable, and one of a kind. She is dazzling in her beauty, striking to behold, and stunning as she moves through the ages. She is characterized by passion. She is fervor, she is ardor, and she is zeal. She is stunning in her presentation and a genius in her speech. She is the church of the living God. The church is relentless and persistent force. There is ferocity and great strength. She is formidable, vigorous, and has an overcoming spirit of kingdom proportions. Not even the gates of hell can prevail against her. The church is the most profound expression of Christ in all the earth. She is unrelenting, unyielding, and unstoppable, and she will never give up. She will never quit, and she will never relinquish her mandate and her holy mission. She is the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ in which he speaks and acts throughout the earth. At the center of this relentless church is the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ. Son of man, Son of God, he who died and was raised from death leads this church. He is the first and the last. It is he who died but shall never die again. Jesus is the central character of this awesome church and is the one who lives eternally. Proceeding out of his nature and character is an outstanding church, potent beyond imagination, profound beyond comprehension. We marvel at her beauty, her glory, and her relentless nature, but our breath is taken away when we behold him who is the source of all her energy, creativity, and wildness. Such majesty we behold. It is Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the source and wellspring of this supernatural energy, and the church is the grand reflection of his nature. Amen. Amen. Come on. It's this nature of his, this church rising up. Did you just want to rise up and just, come on, I want to be part of a church like that. But it's his love, it's his passion, his heart that just wants to move out through his body into this world, into people's lives. That influence we have, the church, the influence in the nations that he wants us to have, to rise and stand up in this victory that is ours, to rise and stand up in wisdom and authority. Amen. That he's given to us, his bride and his queen. Yes. That royalty that's ours. We stand in his mercy and his love, that's his heart. But he says, decree. We, church, be the voice to those around us. We be the voice in our communities, in our homes, in the situations that are going on, in our nations that are shaking. We have the hope. It's Jesus. Okay. We have the hope that we rule and reign with our King. We rule and reign in our own circumstances. We rule and reign in our communities with him. And we're very intentional as a church here of wanting to equip each one of us. I'm going to the Discipleship Academy as well. Very intentional in moving out into our spheres of influence in our communities to disciple, make disciples, see people saved, see them established in truth. And, you know, that the enemy doesn't like that. He doesn't like that when the church rises up in how she's supposed to be. He hates it. Okay? And I've been in Ephesians 6 for a while. And I just want to read some of this to you. Because in terms of standing and standing firm in these days we're in, we need to look at these few verses. Let me find Ephesians. Let me read these to you. Okay. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Okay, so our strength is in him. Our strength is in him and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Okay? For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against one another. Our fight is not at all against other Christians. And if that's where we're at, the enemy's won, because we're not fighting the right battle. Okay? We're battling against evil spirits that are operating on a massive level in this nation and in the nations. This time that we're living, it's a massive warfare going on. And the more we stand as the body of Christ, we're gonna feel that battle. We're going to feel it. It's not against flesh and blood. We need to know how to move and operate. Amen. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. It's not easy to stand when the enemy comes against you, when oppression comes against you that's so overwhelming. But he says, stand firm, stand firm. He enables us, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. And truth is so important. Every one of you, every one of us, myself included, need to be so grounded on the Bible. The Word of God, the truth. When everything else is shaking around us, everything, economies, circumstances, physical shakings, everything that's going on, the Word of God is what we stand on. Amen. That is our firm foundation. the truth. And I believe it's a time where we need to be speaking the truth to those around us as well. It's too easy to keep the peace by not speaking the truth. It's too easy to appease and not face things full on. The truth actually brings freedom. Like Matt's song that you sang on the screen, I want to hear the truth. People need to hear the truth. They need to hear the word of God, not saying things that keeps the peace, but it is no peace. They need to know God. They need to know God's word. And a body of armour of God. His righteousness. God's moving in the nations, isn't he? He wants justice and righteousness. He said to us in Isaiah 54, a government that is just and fair. In the nations, he wants governments that are just and fair. Righteousness established in each one of our hearts and lives and between us, amongst us. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. God has equipped us to overcome. Amen. And another way of putting it, which I've been telling myself, get over it. Spiritually, it says overcome. I have to tell myself, get over it. We're the body of Christ. We're going to be attacked. Get over it and get on with the job. It's what he keeps saying to me, and I have to tell myself. So that's my version, okay? Okay. Philippians 1:27, the warfare that's going on. You know, when we look at the Middle East, everything that's erupting, nations, you know, people fighting against one another, clans, brothers in Egypt, they're fighting against one another, and Libya, they're, thousands of people are getting saved. And I was somewhere the other day where somebody from Israel was saying the amount of young people getting saved in the Middle East at the moment, thousands of them. So when you look at the news, you have to know what's going on, what God is doing. Thousands are getting saved. But at the same time, many believers are being killed. This is a battle. This is not just a Facebook revolution. This is a spiritual battle now being manifest in our nations. It's going on up there, but it's being manifest all over the world. We need to see what's going on and tackle it with decrees, with the word of God. Philippians 1:27 is very interesting. I was reading this yesterday. Stand together with one spirit, one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. It's not a time to be afraid. We are not to be intimidated, okay? But standing together is key. Being part of a body is key. Being relational is going to be so important. It's one of the things that God was addressing with us, Kingdom Faith, and the leadership speaking to us during our fast this year. The Kingdom Faith has been very strong this way with God, but he wants to bring us strength this way relationally, because otherwise we are weak and the enemy gets in. Relationally, we need to be strong. This will be a sign to your enemies that they are going to be destroyed, but you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. And many are in the nations at the moment. Many believers are suffering and being killed. We're in this struggle together, the word says. Paul says, we are in this struggle together. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Fellowship together. Okay, this is the word of God. Are your hearts tender and compassionate to one another? That they make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. And there's a verse where Paul said about the church being knit together with strong ties of love. Yeah. this church, the body of Christ, in this area. The body of Christ in this nation. Relationally, it's going on all over the place. The body of Christ knit together by strong ties of love, because the church of Christ in this nation needs to stand up and needs to be a collective voice in this nation, Amen. Decreeing together the plans and purposes of God over this nation, because this is this nation has a destiny. It's not about just your walk, this church. The church is in Horsham. The church in this nation has a destiny. And the body of Christ needs to rise up and see that destiny fulfilled. Luke 21. Clive referred to this earlier, where Jesus says the things that are going to be kicking off in the earth. It says, Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the period of the Gentiles comes to an end. Then there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Amen. When you see all these things take place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass on the scene until all these things have taken place. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Amen. Again, there's that strength, okay? That strength, trusting God, trusting one another in the shakings that are going on. We need one another. We will need one another in the things that are going to happen. When people suffer because of the economy, we're there for one another to help. And I know we've been doing that to some extent. But we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Japan didn't know that was going to happen to them. The body of Christ there is going to have to rise up and be there for one another in a mighty way. It's God's heart. It's a season of his mercy. It's not judgment. I don't believe, not yet. Come to that in a minute. Season of his mercy and his grace. We don't understand what's going on, but we cry out to him in his mercy and his grace to move, to save, to heal, to deliver, to protect. This is our job as a body of Christ. When it comes to God's judgment, that relates to something else that I just want to talk about. We're in a season, obviously, everything going on in the nations, and there've always been earthquakes. There's been tsunamis. There's been shakings. There's been financial systems falling throughout history. I don't know if we've seen mass governments falling and people rising like this before. I don't remember it. Not where it's going on all over the place. And God, you know, he has an end time plan of salvation for the nations. And we need to understand what that plan is. You know, when Jesus was in Isaiah 49, God said of him, and now the Lord speaks, the one who formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him. And then it said again of Jesus in the same Isaiah 49 verse 8, through you God said, through you, Jesus, I will re-establish the land of Israel and assign it to its own people again. And we're in a time where we know God has done that, where Israel as a nation, they're back in their land. They haven't just moved in and taken over. They're back where God called Abraham and said to him, this is your land. You will become a great nation. Whoever blesses you will be blessed. Whoever curses you will be cursed. God's plan was that through a people and a place. He would send the Messiah. He would send Jesus. That person, that plan of salvation. But then he's coming back to that place. He's coming back to Jerusalem. Zechariah 12 verse 3 says this. God said of Jerusalem, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock. All the nations will gather against it to try to remove it. Try to move it, but they will only hurt themselves. Joel 3. The Lord will pity his people and jealously guard the honour of his land. When God has restored the prosperity of Judah and Jerusalem, at that time, I will gather the armies of the world into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there I will judge them for harming my people, my special possession, for scattering my people among the nations, and for dividing up my land. Say to the nations far and wide, get ready for war. Call out your best warriors. Let all your fighting men advance for the attack. Come quickly, all you nations everywhere, gather together in the valley. And now, O Lord, call out your warriors. Let the nations be called to arms. Let them march to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And there I, the Lord, will sit to pronounce judgment on them all. Thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. And there the day of the Lord will soon arrive. That last verse, thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. We've heard that in regards to, you know, all the people that don't yet know the Lord, that need to hear about him, that need to decide. But it's relating to the nations that God brings together. Because they've divided his land. And what's the time? Sorry.
5 to 12.
5 to 12, okay. The nations at the moment, the governments of the major nations have all decided that by next March they will divide Israel and they will divide Jerusalem. And the word of God is very clear that judgment comes to the nations that do that. That touch his place. And it's not that we can recognize how Israel do and don't do things that hurt people and the Palestinians. We recognize it's not that you don't want them to have peace and security in a home. It's not that, because God's heart is for both and he's saving both. And we support both. But God's word is clear. His judgment comes to nations that divide the place and try and divide Jerusalem. And so we have months, actually, because the plan is already in operation. Probably they will start working it out between September and March. We have months, church, to pray for our nation. We're already praying for Israel. We're already doing what we can. There's always more to do. But our nation, I don't want our nation to come under judgment. We're praying for this nation. The call is all about everything we want to see happen in our nation, that we're going to see happen. God move. We don't want our nation to come under judgment. And you know, this Britain, I believe, had a mandate from God regarding Israel. And I believe, church, believers were always used before it manifested into what happened with the land. Believers praying, believing the word of God, working behind the scenes in places of influence to bring God's word, to bring God's truth. And those people were always instrumental in revival in this nation. Yeah. They're linked. God's heart and plan for Israel and revival, they're linked. And we want to see revival. We wanted to see it for years. Yes. And God's heart is that this nation doesn't come under judgment. Amen. That we love this nation, that we stand up and we pray for this nation. You know, interestingly, it says about Deborah that she woke up, that she arose as a mother for Israel. And she rose up and went into battle. And we don't go into battle, but we use the sword, which is the word of God. Amen. We take hold of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's what we use in our warfare. We take hold of the word and the promises of God, and we do battle. We pray, church. We pray like we've never prayed before. So this nation doesn't come under judgment. Amen. That this nation steps back into its call, its plan that God has for it, its purpose in the nations, to be a blessing to Israel and not a curse. Amen. If you're from other nations, you can pray that, you know, for your nation as well. Because these things that are being planned cover many nations. So we need to pray, church, don't we? We need to rise up. And I want us to stand now. And while I was been praying into this for a while, God, what do we decree? What is it what we decree? What is our word that we use when we're praying for this nation and over the church in this nation to rise up? And there's a couple of things, you know, with Deborah when she arose and Barak when they led and fought together. It said the sons of Issachar were with them. Many rose up, but they were leaders who understood the signs of the times and knew what to do with regards to Israel. Yes. That's a word we need to decree over the church in this nation. Yes. That we are leaders, and leaders in our churches understand the signs of the times and know what to do regarding Israel. Okay? And also Cyrus in Isaiah 45. I believe Britain, the call on Britain is the Cyrus nation. Maybe I only believe that on my own. Can you stand, please? Okay, I'm going to speak this over us. This is what the Lord says to Cyrus, his anointed one. His anointed one. Amen. Whose right hand he empowers. Before him, mighty kings will be paralyzed with fear. Their fortress gates will be opened, never to shut again. This is what the Lord says. I go before you, Cyrus, and level the mountains. I smash down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you treasures hidden in darkness and secret places. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. And why have I called you for this work? Why did I call you by name when you did not know me? For the sake of Jacob, my servant. Israel, my chosen one. You know, church, we've come in to all the promises that God gave Israel. We've come into them, but he calls us now to stand with them. He calls us now to work with his end time plan because he's coming back there. Okay? I will raise up Cyrus to fulfill my righteous purpose, and I will guide his actions. He will restore my city and free my captive people without seeking a reward. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. that, if you want to know how to pray, take that word, Isaiah 45, and pray that over your church, churches wherever you're from, over the church in this nation, and over this nation, its government, that it will align itself with the word of God. It will align itself with God's end time purposes. It's time to stand, to be that voice, decree what God speaks over the nations, the call over the nations for his end time plan. Okay, let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. You in your own heart, obviously, need to decide to stand with God as he moves throughout the earth. To stand firm on his word. Just you talk with God right now. Your own heart response. Lord, we line ourselves up with your word. Your word, your word, your truth alone. We align ourselves up with your word. We stand and we stand firm in the shakings, in the uncertainties, in the warfare. As it increases, we stand firm, Lord, in your word and your truth with one another. Jesus. Jesus, your face is toward us. Your favor is toward us. Your anointing, your power, your authority is in our hands, Lord, to decree what you tell us to decree, to see nations, to see our nation line up, Lord, with your word, to see salvation and mercy at work in governments. Jesus, your mercy at work in this window of time that we have, your mercy at work in this nation. Lord, use us, send us, let us be a voice wherever, Lord, you are, whatever you ask of us, Lord, we will not shrink back, we will not appease. Lord, we will speak your truth wherever you ask us to speak out, Lord. We will stand up, Lord, and we may be sticking our heads up above the parapet, but Lord, we will stand with you. We will stand with you, Lord, and trust you for protection, Lord, that your word will go forth and you watch over it to see it perform in our nations, Lord. Father, we thank you that you're concerned with every detail of our lives, every life here, every family, every street, every community that we're from and living in. You're concerned with the smallest detail. And you're concerned with the big picture. That, Lord, we will see the big picture, and we rise up. We rise up, Lord. We rise up, Lord, with your decrees. We will not be afraid to speak. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Do you strengthen each one of us? You strengthen us together. Together, Lord. A body of Christ in this nation. Thank you, Jesus. Just stay in that place of prayer before the Lord. I just want to read this. He is the head to the body, his church. He is the great shepherd to the flock, his church. He is the Lamb of God, who came to earth clothed in flesh to be the perfect and ultimate sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. He is Jesus, and the church basks in his reflective glory. It is Christ himself, the anchor of our souls, who becomes the harbour of hope to those who are bereft of hope. He is wild, radical, and fierce, yet he is the one who welcomes in the broken, the weak, and downtrodden to fellowship with him. He is the one who is moved to show forgiveness, grace, and mercy to those who are in need. This church, whose head is Christ, greets a world in need of truth, life, and vitality. And he says to all, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, we thank you for your mercy in the nations at this time. Your saving grace right now at work in all the nations. Your saving grace in Israel. In the Middle East, Lord, your saving grace. In Japan, Lord. Every nation where there's turmoil, your saving grace and mercy are at work right now, Jesus. That's your heart. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, be saved right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you bring hope where there is no hope, Lord. Your forgiveness, Lord. And we just want to pray right now for anybody here in this room that doesn't know God like that. His forgiveness, his grace and his mercy. And that he's right there for you right now. He's right here. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone here that doesn't know him like that but wants to, just right now, just say, Jesus, save me. Save me. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Come and fill me. I want to know you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You make yourself known to whoever calls on you, Lord. In this room and in the nations, you're making yourself known, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Let's just pray for a moment. If you don't know Jesus here this morning, and you realise, wow, there's something a bit more to just church, according to what I've heard this morning, than just rocking up at a meeting for an hour or so and then going home and doing whatever. But actually, there's God is alive. He is working out a plan for mankind, for every person. And part of that plan is for every one of us to know him and have a relationship with him. And here this morning, you might be in a situation where, well, I don't know God. I haven't got a relationship with him. But actually, something's been happening in me this morning where something's been just going off on the inside of me. I need to respond to God. And if that's you this morning, you're at that point where you're saying, I've got to respond to God. I want to take a first step. I want to begin to know this God you've been talking about. And that seems so real in this place. And if that's you, if you can just raise your hand for a moment, let me see where you are. If there's anybody here this morning, and you're just like, I wanna respond to God, and begin a relationship with God this morning. If there's anybody here today, you just quickly raise your hand so I can see you. And then I'd love just to pray for you, pray with you, for a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for anybody here this morning that doesn't know you. Father, I thank you that you're just moving their heart right now. I thank you you show them who you are. You become so real in each person's life. Father, any questions, I thank you that you answer those questions and speak right into their lives right now. But Father, I thank you that today can be a day of salvation for them this morning. I thank you, Jesus. If there is anybody here and you want to chat to somebody afterwards, there's a number of us that are here that would love to chat with you afterwards, after the meeting, just talk with you, how you can come to know Jesus, how you can begin that relationship with God today. You know, this morning's word is a really, really important word for us as a church. The last few weeks have been very much about walking out the vision, walking out stuff in our own personal lives. What does that mean in terms of what God said a few weeks ago when I was speaking, really about our own town, about the 25-mile radius, about all the kind of expression of that. We spoke about making disciples and all of that. And we started the Discipleship Academy. Pastor Colin last week brought the word about living according to the truth. We've got to disciple people in the truth. We've got to be a people of truth. And that whole analogy you gave about walking on the wall, that when you keep your eye on the truth, then you can walk straight. But we don't want to live according to facts or past, because they take you off the truth. And then today, James just brought this word, which is a much bigger picture of salvation for the nations and how we are part of this massive plan of God's purposes, and how we want to align our thinking, our hearts, and as a people, that we really line up with God's word and his plan of salvation. And what James said about some of the governments, many governments around the nation, around the world at this moment, making decisions to do with Israel, that's currently going on right now. And they are looking to know by September, from all the nations that are in the UN, European Union, America and Russia, between all of those nations, they want a decision by September or before September as to where they stand in relation to Israel and Jerusalem, and then they'll know which nations they're going to work with to then divide up Jerusalem in terms of what they want to do, and then they'll implement that after March next year. So there's a little bit of prayer that we need to do, not just here on a Sunday morning, but just in on our own. There's times to pray for Israel, if you look at the 24/7 prayer that's going on. But we need to pray for our nation, our leaders. Even last week, earlier in the week, they had meetings going on, and they've been kind of saying out in the news, beginning to kind of obviously show their hand as to where they stand and the kind of decision that looks like in the natural they're going to make. So we need to be praying for Cameron, for Hague, and for those in the decisions making environments, all the people that are behind closed doors that have come with all kinds of agendas, all kinds of stuff. And that's one level that we need to pray for our nation in relation to Israel and what's going on, because we want our nation to be blessed. Is that right? So just this week, be praying for that. Use those scriptures and pray. We're not coming against people. It's a spiritual thing that's going on, all right? And we want to bless the nation of Israel. We want to bless what God is blessing and what God is doing. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome week this week. Remember, Tuesday morning.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.